In your warmth, I forget how cold it can be. Written by Spiritus Rex. Read by Apple Sapling. This is a Danny Fenton fanfiction featuring the romantic relationship between Danny Fenton, Tucker Foley, and Sam Mason. Additional tags are: it's my lifelong fixation, so I get to choose to make the characters Polly. And also in college. So I can write about them sharing a bed and being sappy as hell. Fluff, domestic fluff, college student Danny Fenton, college student Sam Mason, college student Tucker Foley, aged up characters, sharing a bed, the woes of your boyfriend being a living ice cube, half living ice cube. Danny Fenton has an ice coast core. Do you want a blanket? Sam asks, interrupting their little stalemate. Danny, hands still holding Tucker's face away from his own, turns and throws at her again. No, what I want is to be able to sleep in the bed. Not happening, Sam says. At the same time, Tucker says, no way. I knew you both didn't love me, Danny says dramatically. I knew it. I love you, Tucker says, but I love being warm and cozy while I sleep more. Having a boyfriend who runs supernaturally cold is only convenient in the summer. In the winter, it becomes a bit of an issue.
This isn't fair!
Danny calls out into the small apartment while lying flat on his back across the couch cushions and with his arms crossed over his chest.
This is cruel and unusual, as well as unjust punishment. I haven't even done anything!
A pillow smacks him in the face. Stop being such a baby, Sam says. Danny pulls the pillow down and frowns at her. I'm not being a baby.
You're being a bit of a baby, dude, Tucker responds, as he sits down by Danny's head and leans over to try and give his boyfriend a kiss to calm him down.
Don't call me dude and then try to kiss me, Danny says, bringing his hands up to push on Tucker's shoulders and keep him away. Tucker strains against Danny for show, but they both know that he'll never overpower him.
But dude...
Tucker? Do you want a blanket? Sam asks, interrupting their little stalemate. Danny, hands still holding Tucker's face away from his own, turns and frowns at her again. No, what I want is to be able to sleep in the bed. Not happening, Sam says. At the same time, Tucker says, no way.
I knew you both didn't love me, Danny says dramatically. I knew it.
I love you, Tucker says, but I love being warm and cozy while I sleep more.
Your love is fake then, conditional.
Absolutely, Tucker confirms with a full serious nod of his head. Conditional on me being able to sleep. He gives up on trying to get to Danny's face to give him a kiss. But the moment he pulls away, Sam attacks Danny from the other end by sitting down on his lap and then laying over his chest.
Get off, Danny wheezes. You've lost your cuddle privileges.
Oh no, Sam says, her tone flat and full of sarcasm. Not the cuddle privileges.
If I'm too cold to be in the bed, then I'm too cold for cuddling,
Danny asserts firmly, looking away from Sam so he doesn't meet her eyes. He keeps his arms crossed, staunchly refusing to wrap them around Sam like he usually would whenever she lies down on top of him.
You're such a drama queen, Sam says with a pout.
It's like sleeping in a meat locker when you're in the bed, Tucker says, and us humans get frostbite easily.
Why'd you have to call it a meat locker?
Sam says with a displeased side eye to Tucker.
Is that not how it feels? Tucker asks, throwing his hands up.
You could have used an analogy that didn't involve meat, Sam says, with a mildly disguised scrunch of her nose.
Oh, come on, Sam, Tucker groans with a roll of his eyes.
While Sam has her attention on Tucker, Danny's body abruptly goes intangible. Sam lets out a short, startled yelp as she falls the few inches to the couch cushions. The odd thing is that Danny stays on the couch, still visible and yet untouchable. His cross-armed pose hasn't changed, aside from the new visual effect of sun being overlaid over top of his faintly translucent state. After realizing what happened, Sam pushes herself up with a huff. Her upper body and head leave the same space as Danny's body, and she glares down into his semi-translucent face as he looks away into the couch back with a stubborn pout on his lips. After a long moment of silence between them, she gives a clipped, "Fine," and gets off the couch altogether. Danny becomes fully tangible again in the moment after. "I have a 9 a.m. class, so you better not try and sneak into the bed and wake me up," she threatens Danny as she walks away towards the bedroom, the only one their little shared apartment has. From where Tucker is, still sitting on the couch beside Danny's head, he sees the way Danny's nose scrunches up with emotion.
"Wouldn't dream of it,"
he snaps back. But he's still facing into the couch, so his words are partially swallowed by the sagging cushions. Tucker isn't really sure what to say. The situation had begun with a goofy tone, at least he thought it had. He's left feeling wrong-footed now that he can see how legitimately upset Danny now looks. "I can try talking to her," he offers.
"Don't bother," Danny replies shortly.
He turns onto his side, so that now he's completely facing into the couch and has his back to the rest of the apartment. The dejected picture he makes has a little niggling worm of guilt squirming in the back of Tucker's mind. The three of them moved into this apartment in their junior year of college, which was when their school allowed students to move off campus, so had only endured one winter before this. They had shared the bed as normal, but the blankets had gotten heavier and heavier as more and more were added in a desperate attempt to keep Sam and Tucker warm, while Danny's core and the snow outside worked together to make sure they shivered through every night. Sometimes Danny had snuck out of bed and slept on the couch of his own volition, when he could tell Sam and Tucker really were suffering and needed a night of warm, uninterrupted sleep. This year is different, in that Danny is being barred from the bed altogether from the start. Tucker had been the one to jokingly suggest it to Sam, and then she of course latched on with all her intensity and stubbornness, digging her heels in even when Tucker mentioned that Danny would probably not be happy about this. He was right. Danny is unhappy. A lot unhappier than Tucker had thought he would be. When Tucker flops into bed, there's a distinct gap of space left between him and Sam, who is already tucked under the covers on her side of the bed. She isn't asleep, though. Tucker knows her well enough to be able to tell that. She's too stiff, her breath's too measured. Sam doesn't like to admit it, but when she's asleep, really asleep, she snores a little. Just a bit.
"Man, I love having all this space,"
he says as he stretches out like a starfish, obnoxiously smacking Sam's shoulder with a wayward hand. "We should have kicked Danny out of here ages ago."
"I'll kick you out too," Sam grumbles, hunching her shoulders up to her ears and pulling the comforter higher. "I really do have a 9 a.m.
Tucker is aware. He has all of their schedules saved on his PDA, phone, and laptop. Mondays are always labeled in red, because Sam and Danny tend to be at their grumpiest due to Sam having to wake up early and Danny having two of his toughest classes almost back-to-back from 10 to 12:30 and then 1 to 3:30. He'd much rather be having this conversation literally any other time, preferably a time when Sam has gotten her rest and isn't already grouchy from just thinking about the coming day. But some things need to be said.
"Maybe we should have fought harder on a solution to our temperature problem,"
he says, pinching his voice into a lower whisper so Danny won't hear. Sam's silhouette in the darkness of a room stays rigid.
"You know how Danny feels about being left out."
Tucker adds on. He's determined to share this squirmy, guilty feeling he has, whether Sam likes it or not. In a choice between hurting Danny's feelings and getting hypothermia in my sleep, I choose the first one. Sam huffs waspishly under her breath. You don't mean that, Tucker says. Shut up. What if we just get a space heater? Sam sighs roughly and gives up on faking sleep. She rolls to face Tucker. What use would that be? He'd still make the bed cold, so it'd defeat the purpose. Tucker hums in acknowledgement of her point, then says, maybe if we short out his powers, it will stop his core from, being cold for a while? Sam glares at him. So, basically you're suggesting we give him a ghost heart attack every night before bed. Well, putting it like that is making me want to rescind that suggestion. Sam rolls her eyes now. Can we just sleep and think of something tomorrow? She asks. Danny can survive for a night on the couch. Tucker wants to frown at that, but he also knows there isn't really any other course of action. Danny is on the couch, likely dead asleep already, his face probably stuck in the scrunched-up skull he puts on when frustrated and then forgets to take off for days on end. Sam looks to be about halfway to sleep too, and Tucker knows he should follow. All right, you've escaped this conversation, Mason, he says to her and smirks when she tiredly rolls her eyes. But tomorrow, at least, I'm gonna figure something out for sure. I don't doubt it, Sam replies, with a droll tone. They both get comfortable, with Sam turning back onto her side, and Tucker actually getting under the covers. The thick silence of a darkened room settles over them. Then Sam mutters. This bed is too big. Tucker wakes up around 11 to a text on his phone from Sam from when she left for class earlier that morning, containing a picture of Danny sprawled out and drooling grossly on their ugly little couch. Told you he'd survive for a night, Sam's message says. After a moment of snickering tiredly to himself, Tucker saves the picture. Danny, of course, isn't on the couch anymore when Tucker finally emerges from bed. Still yawning, he moves through the apartment towards the kitchen, hopeful that some coffee has been left for him. His hope dies quickly. There isn't any coffee because the coffee machine has been iced over with unmelting ectoplasm and frost ice. We've lost a brave soldier today in the war against the icy ghost menace known as Phantom, Tucker sends to their group chat alongside a picture of the poor frozen coffee machine. Sam doesn't see the message or respond, but Danny does. Ghost, middle finger, looks like you'll have to go out in the cold to get your caffeine fix. Ouch. Tucker does not, in fact, go out to get coffee. Unlike Sam and Danny, he doesn't have any classes on Mondays, a strategic choice made so that he can have a long weekend every weekend. So, he chooses to stay in his pajamas and instead steal one of Sam's heart-dropping energy drinks, narrowly avoiding a clear jug full of toxically bright green ectoplasm when he reaches into the fridge. He gives the jug a disgusted look while he knows he's alone and Danny can't see him. They really need to get Danny a separate mini-fridge for his more ghostly sustenance needs. The couch still sports a few rumpled dents where Danny had been lying, and Tucker takes advantage of them to get comfortable as he sits down and gets out his laptop. He spends the short time it takes for the energy drink to kick in, idly searching for different heating solutions, googling bed-warming pads and space heaters, and hoarding different shopping sites until he lands on something he thinks to be a pretty darn good plan. He fires off a link to Sam, saying, think I figured something out.
Can you use your rich person money to get one of these bad boys here before Danny gets out of class? Who do you think I am? Sam replies. Then, a moment later, Tucker gets another message. It will arrive at 2. He grins in satisfaction and takes a triumphant swig of the energy drink. Perfect. I hate when you both do this, Danny says unamused, after entering the apartment to find Sam and Tucker both sitting on the couch, facing the door, waiting for him. You don't need to stage everything like it's an intervention. It stopped being funny after the first time. Danielle Fenton, Sam intones. The Council for Maintaining Comfortable Bed Temperature has been deliberating on your case. Danny scowls and turns away. He shucks off his jacket and hangs it on the coat rack by the door, then drops his backpack onto the ground beside the only armchair before plopping himself down in it. He crosses his arms and faces his girlfriend and boyfriend. We have come to a solution that we believe will make everyone happy, Tucker continues. Oh, really? Danny raises an eyebrow. Miss Mason, if you could present the device, please. Sam twists and reaches behind her and pulls with a flourish from the hidden space between the couch and their backs. A blanket? Danny says. That's your big solution? Mr. Foley, if you'd like to do the honors, Sam says, holding a cord that Danny hadn't noticed out to Tucker. Don't mind if I do, Tucker says. He stands and walks over to the socket on the nearby wall to plug the cord in. A faint click draws Danny's attention back to Sam and the blanket in her hands. Not just any blanket, Sam says with a smirk, as she ratchets up the heat on the small, knobbed controller in her hand that connects to the blanket through another corded wire. A fancy heated blanket. Danny remains unimpressed with the coordinated theatrics. Wow, incredible, show-stopping, he says flatly. With a roll of her eyes, Sam tosses the blanket at Danny. He yelps, but resists the urge to let it face through him, instead catching it and taking its surprising weight right into his chest. Tucker leaps on him a second later and takes fistfuls of the blanket that he forces around a wriggling, protesting Danny. The heat is really kicking in now. Danny frees his head from the messy blanket cocoon with a gasp, as if surfacing from underwater. He can feel his core's internal temperature rising by the second. This is going to melt me, he pants with certainty. Tucker is still in his lap, holding the blanket and Danny down, and Sam wiggles her way into the tiny amount of space on his lap left, far too casually for someone trying to kill her boyfriend via a slow heat death. It's not going to melt you, she says. But what it is going to do, Tucker chimes in, is give us a warm Danny burrito to keep the bed cozy. Danny, mouth already open for another protest, pauses at that. He thinks for a moment. Then shuts his mouth and adopts a begrudging pout. His hair is ruffled, and with the blanket making him so warm, there's a faint flush to cheeks that really takes away any authority in this debate that he might have had left, which already wasn't much. We can test it out, he says. Sam and Tucker high-five in front of his face. That night, the three of them go about getting into bed like it is a military operation. Covers folded back and comforter pushed all the way down with extreme seriousness, the blanket cord tucked out of the way strategically so it won't get tangled up in anyone's limbs. Danny watches, weightless, as he sits perched on top of the headboard and out of the way, as Sam and Tucker spread the heated blanket out over the bed in preparation.
They adjust the heat about 1,000 times until it's deemed to be a good temperature for overnight. All right, now lay down right here, Sam says, patting the center of the blanket. Danny does so and then allows Sam and Tucker to genuinely tuck the blanket around him and roll him up like some kind of human-sized burrito. Comfortable? Sam asks.
No.
Great.
You look like one of those cat videos of a kitten wrapped in a towel.
Tucker snickers, while Sam discreetly, but indiscreetly, takes a picture.
If both of you don't get in bed right now, I'm phasing out of this.
Danny threatens without any real anger or conviction to his tone. Someone quickly turns the lights out, and then Danny has Tucker on one side of him and Sam on the other. They cuddle in close and settle against him with contented sighs. It seems the plan of insulating Danny and keeping his cold out of the rest of the bed is succeeding so far.
I'm definitely melting, Danny says.
Shh, Sam says, while Tucker's hand appears out of the darkness and pats at Danny's face in a half-hearted attempt to quiet him down.
Sleep, you wanted this.
Danny huffs, but the sound is amused and fond, rather than irritated.
Yeah, you got me there, he says.
And although he wakes up with his skin clammy and sweaty, feeling gross and far too hot despite the chill from the snow outside, Sam and Tucker hadn't woken up from shivering a single time during the night. They're both still asleep and comfortable, lying beside him. For that, Danny will admit that having to endure a little discomfort to his core is worth it compared to being on the couch alone. That doesn't mean that he's not going to wake his boyfriend and girlfriend up with a cold hand of revenge to the backs of their necks the first chance he gets, though.